Great to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. If you're visiting with us, as was mentioned, you are certainly our honored guest. And certainly we're thankful to have Mr. Dempsey and his family with us this morning. As was mentioned, he did a great job in our Sunday school class. And so he talked about some things that we're going to start a series on very soon, starting today. So that's pretty soon, right? But we're going to be talking about our renewed worship. We're going to be talking about where we are. Remember, last week we started a six-month checkup, if you will, to find out where we are, to find out after we've been renewed, if we've been renewed up until this point this year, which is our theme for the entire year, what do we do now? What's next? Before we do that, I do want to draw notice to right here, Scott and Michelle. Do you want to bring Cora up, Scott? Bring her up. I know she's sleeping, and I'll probably disturb her. But, I mean, they have their grandbaby here for the very first time. And we've got to see her, right? I get to hold this sweet little precious angel. Oh, I know, baby. Hazley's not the only one anymore, Hazley. There she, isn't she beautiful? Congratulations to Daniel, Megan, Scott, Michelle, Kelly, Ashton, all the above. Thank you, brother. Sorry, I threw that one on you real quick. You know, I think it's special that we get to do that. I think it's special that we celebrate new life. Bill mentioned in his prayer, thank you, God, for the babies we have here. Because you know what you decided to do today? You decided to bring your baby to worship. You see, you decided that the most important thing you can do this entire week today is worship. You know, I want to just talk with you a moment about where our worship is. And I'm not talking about as a congregation. I'm talking about you. This is a time for you to reflect. It's a time for me to reflect. I've reflected a lot as I've gone through studying for this lesson. But it's a time for us to look at where we are individually. And we need to ask ourselves, where am I when it comes to worshiping God? How is my approach? Where is my approach? Has my worship become motionless, meaningless, or mundane? You see, those are three words that we need to ask. And what I mean by motionless is I'm just emotionless, really. Am I just going through the motion? Brother Dempsey talked about a checklist this morning about check off this, check off this, check off this, check off this. Hey, we've sang our songs, check. Hey, we've gathered around the table, check. Hey, we've had a prayer and a scripture, check. Hey, now we're preaching, check. Is that where we are, or is today really about God? And again, I don't want to say for our whole congregation, I want to ask for you. Make it personal. Is today where you are centered around God? Or are we thinking about what's going on later? Are we thinking about what's going to happen this afternoon? Are we going to think about, hey, what, I got a big week at work? Guys, put all that away. Put it all away. Like you tell your children, hey, put that away. It's time to get real. And today, it's about God. It's not about anything else but the Almighty. And we need to focus on that. James chapter 4, Bo read to us, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He'll run. Do we believe that? Do we practice that? If we believe it, do we practice it? You see, we got to think about in James 4, James has given us some practical stuff to be able to focus on where we need to be, where they needed to be, where we need to be. It's a great lesson on renewal. And so if you look at that first part there, it says submit to God. So what do we do when we submit to God? We give ourselves to Him. God, here I am. As Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Under the Old Testament pattern of worship, to get their sins put off for a year on the Day of Atonement, remember, what would they do? They would bring their best lamb. The high priest would take and would offer, would bleed the lamb out and offer and sprinkle on the blood of the covenant their sacrifice. And God would either there accept or reject. And that would put their sins off. It would atone them for the year. Well, today, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And He was sacrificed for us once and for all. And so all we do now is bring our best to Him. So the question I need to ask myself is, am I bringing my best to God? Or is it just another check off that I go through? You see, as I think about James chapter 4 and I think about drawing near, what is the opposite of drawing near? Well, it's hiding. That little kid thinks he's hiding, right? He's behind that little tree. And I remember, Madeline, when you were smaller, and Bo and I and Madeline, we would play some hide and seek in the house, and Madeline would go and hide, and I would be it, and I would, you know, count to 20 or whatever it is. Ready or not, here I come. And she would be like, "Hey, Daddy, I'm in the closet." You see, we think we can hide it, but we really can't. We give it away. I can illustrate that in Genesis 3 at the fall of man, right? Adam and Eve were so smart, they thought. They were so spoiled. Can we not fill in that gap for us as well? We think we're so smart, we're so spoiled. We've got so many things, so many blessings, so many of our... We have all of our needs and a lot of our wants, don't we? And so Adam and Eve had the same thing they could have from any tree in the garden except for one. Just stay away from one. And that's the very one that they wanted the most. And once that serpent slithered right into their lives, they realized they were naked and ashamed of it. And so they hid. They heard God coming and they hid. You never want to play hide and seek with God, because He can see and know everything. We can't get away from Him. And so today, if you're trying to hide your approach to worship, if you're trying to cover it up and go through the motions and wear the nice clothes and sing the songs and sit on the pew and check it off, check it off, check it off, check it off, and then live like a heathen the rest of the time, we can't hide from God. We're that little bitty kid behind that smaller tree. Or we're Madeline saying, "Daddy, I'm in here." God knows, okay? He knows. He asked Adam and Eve, He said, "Where are you?" Now for one moment, I don't want you to sit there and think Adam and Eve's like, "Well, we're behind the bushes over here, God." Oh, He knew. He knew. He knew where they were physically. He wanted to know where they were spiritually. And so today, if God could call out to us, and He does through His Word, He could ask us today, "Hey church, where are you?" Put your name there. "Hey Terry, where are you?" "Well God, I'm standing right on this stage preaching my heart out, right? But where are you?" See, I could fake it too. Where am I spiritually? Where are you spiritually? Only you and I can answer that. And so we're going to start a series on where we are in renewing our worship, our approach to worship. And I want to start in the book of Exodus, where it began with Moses. We're talking about drawing near this morning. Well, I want you to understand, number one, we're here at God's request. I do not like to turn down invitations, and I've had some great invitations by some great people to go out and do some great things, and I've had pre-appointed times or pre-planned times or pre-committed times where I've had to turn those down, okay? And that, I don't like doing that, right? I don't like saying, "Man, I'm sorry, I had this planned, or I just can't this weekend, or whatever." And maybe you don't like doing that either. Well, I want you to know that here's something we got to clear our calendars for. And that's drawing near to God. You see, I know that life comes up. You know that life comes up, right? You may not be planning next Sundays already, because today, sufficient is the day its own trouble, right? You may not be thinking that far in advance, but I want you to know right now that your calendar needs to be clear next Sunday. Your calendar needs to be clear when we gather for Bible class. And listen, I get it. God gets it more importantly than I get it, or the elders. God gets it. Things come up. Life comes up. Sickness comes up. Jobs come up. Different things come up. But I'm talking about, we need to make a point that nothing's going to get in the way of me drawing near to God. Because there are a lot of things that we can do today that are important to us. Maybe important to our family. Maybe important to the world. I don't know. But there's only one thing we can do today that's important to God. Okay? And we can do a lot of things in that one thing, right? But our worship to God is what matters. Again, we're bringing our best to Him. We're presenting our lives, and we're doing it at His request. Let's look at it. Exodus chapter 3 now, beginning in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the middle of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. I would guess so, right? Pretty amazing moment. Why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the middle of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. He said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off. And that means first, take off your sandals. For the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Moses had not planned on drawing near to God that day. Moses was doing what he was supposed to do. He was doing his job. He was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. He was shepherding that flock. And he happened to lead them. By the way, Moses' life did not happen by accident. Moses didn't float down that Nile River just in time for Pharaoh's daughter to come out. That wasn't an accident. That was part of God's plan, okay? Now, I do not necessarily believe it was part of God's plan for Moses to go and kill somebody. But Moses may have needed some humbling. He may have needed to learn how to shepherd. And so, even though his life took a track from Pharaoh's court fleeing down to Midian to become a shepherd, he went from drinking out of goblets to living off the land. Even though his life took a turn because of choices he made, God still used him and used the situation he was in. And now he just so happens, right, to go to the mountain of God. And he looks around and he sees a bush. God gets his attention, a bush that's on fire but it's not being burned up. Somewhere along the way, God's going to get our attention. Okay? He's going to get our attention. Maybe you're going through some major trials right now and you're thinking, why me, God? Like Job did. God didn't cause it to happen to Job, but He allowed it. He didn't cause it to happen to you, but He allowed it, right? And you know what He's trying to do? He's on fire, maybe, but He's not being burned up, and He's trying to get your attention. Think about Nehemiah. Why did God allow Jerusalem's walls to be torn down? Well, I believe to build them back stronger. Sometimes we get torn down to be built back stronger. And so Moses' life got torn down, but now at the request of God, he's going back to get him for the very reason he needed him. He got his attention with the bush, and then he made his request. He said, hey, Moses, I want you to come here, but first you got to take off your sandals. You see, God sent you an invitation today. He sent an invitation for you to attend worship. For you to draw near to Him. So, my question is, are we going to let other things get in line? Let's suppose it was Judgment Day. And I just got to throw this out there, okay? And we had an opportunity. Now, there's no choice in Judgment Day, right? The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. There'll be a shout. There'll be all this. The clouds will be rolled back. dead will rise, etc., etc., right? But we're standing before Jesus Christ, who is the judge. And it's our name called Terrell Gregory Cagle. I don't know if they'll call that or just Terry. I don't know. But anyhow, they call me up, okay? Hang on, God. I really got a lot to do today. I mean, you know, God, my kids have got things they've got to get done. I've got to, you know, I got a big project at work. By the way, none of that's going to matter. We won't turn down that request. We're not going to turn down the request when He calls our name to stand before Him. Why would we turn down the request now? Moses said, "Here I am." Well, if I'm going to draw near to God at His request, there's some things I need to do. First of all, I got to be willing to serve. Okay, if you look back at the text in Moses, thinking about Moses in his life, okay? Where's he at right now? He's a shepherd for Jethro. But where was he before? As I mentioned, he was drawn out of the Nile River, raised in Pharaoh's house, to be able to go in and say, "Hey, man, let God's people go." And it would have been easy, smooth, everything, but man doesn't do anything smooth, right? We mess it all up. And so Moses goes and he kills one of the Egyptians because he's beating a Hebrew. He tries to cover it up. Well, they figure it out and he flees. Well, here he is, still willing to serve. He became a shepherd, learning how to shepherd flock. Learning how to shepherd people. Wherever you are right now, maybe you're not in the job you want to be. Maybe you're not in the relationship you want to be. Maybe you're not in the situation in life you want to be. But here's what I can guarantee you. Whether you are high up or whether you are low down in your own life, whether you are on a high or whether you are low, we can still serve wherever we are. Jesus Christ didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And you know, it's not just for teenagers to go and have service projects. We need to be serving all of us. It's who God's people are. It's who we need to be. We as fathers need to take the lead. We need to do it as families. We need to set the example. We need to find wherever we are and we need to serve. It's part of coming closer to God. And if I'm not serving, I'm not close to God. You may think you can argue that, but you can't. You see, Jesus Christ spent His entire public ministry convincing the disciples to be the salt and light of the world. And in order to do that, you got to serve people. They've got to see Jesus living in you. And until I understand servanthood, I'm not going to understand what it's like to be in a relationship with God. But secondly, I've got to see. Moses in verse 3 said, "I'll turn aside and I'll see this great sight." I thought your point was great, Dempsey, that you made, that how many times have we passed over. You know, I can pass over the Bayway. I've been over to speak across the bay a couple times this summer now, and I can pass over that and never see that water. I mean, that's a lot of water to not see, but I can just get in my tunnel vision and go. He talks about the mountains. We talk about the water, right? We see it so much that it doesn't affect us anymore. But how many things in our life does God give us that we don't see? You know, Moses is going along and he's shepherding this flock. He didn't say, "Man, I can't go over there. I got to tend to these flocks." No, he saw that bush that was on fire but not being consumed, and he said, "I got to turn and see this." God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to look. He's trying to get us to see. Are we going to put our binders on and not see? Or are we going to turn and look? You see, God's given us the invitation. He's invited us to come to Him. He's invited us to worship Him. But if I don't see the invitation, then I'll never fully devote myself to Him. But then thirdly, in order to do all that, we've got to remove our sandals. You think about that. In verse 5, he said, hey, take off your sandals, for where you're standing is holy ground. Why was it holy ground? Because the presence of God was there. You know, you think about what keeps me from seeing God, what keeps me from serving God, what keeps me from drawing near to God. A lot of times it's some kind of obstacle that I need to get out of my life. I need to get things out of my life. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I was teaching teenagers for the years that I was a youth minister or Bible teacher, I would tell them, hey, sometimes your relationship, your boyfriend, your girlfriend that you love that you just met 5 minutes ago, they are holding you back. And I said, if they are holding you back, you need to drop them like a bad habit. Well, how many of those things in our own life could we do that to? Do my hobbies hold me back? Do my children's hobbies hold me back? Do secular things hold me back? Do temptations and desires hold me back? I don't know. Again, I said, I'm not talking about the whole church. I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me. What's standing in the way for me reading this every day? What's standing in the way for me spending time in prayer? What's standing in the way for me serving? What's standing in the way for me picking up the phone and calling somebody and checking on them? What's standing in the way for me doing friendship evangelism? What is standing in the way? I don't know for you, but I know for me. And you know what I got to do? I got to get it out of my life. I got to get it out of my life. God can't be any plainer than that. There's no options. Heaven is too valuable and hell is too high for us not to get the obstacles out of our lives. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what He's requesting? He's requesting you and He's requesting me to come to repentance. That's renewal. If I've got obstacles, if I've got sandals, if I've got things in my life, I get them out and I draw near because I see God and I serve God. In Romans 5, He showed us how much He loved us. It says there, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God manifested, demonstrated, made known toward us. He showed us, right? God showed us that Jesus Christ would die for us in that while we were still sinners. You see, that's a beautiful thing. He showed us how much He loves us. So, number one, out of all this, there's like 6 points, Terry. All right, I know. But number one, we draw near at God's request. Number two, we draw near to be rescued. You see, in verse 6, He told Moses that He was Father. Moreover, He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. That was a serious moment, right? And I know that sometimes we as fathers probably have a stern face and our kids are a little afraid from that standpoint. But think about the times when our children run to us with open arms and we're on our knees and we're hugging them and we're loving them and they're coming to us without fear. Or they're knowing that, hey, no matter what, I may be a little bit nervous right now, but my dad's here. My mom's here. My grandparents are here. I feel pretty tough. I was never a time in my life when I was off with my mom and dad that I was afraid, because I knew they were with me. I knew they had my back. I knew they would help me. Yeah, they would tear me up when I was wrong, but they were there for me. And they still are. Now, I want you to think on a much bigger scale. Our Father. He told Moses, you can come close to me because I am your Father. I'm your Father. Our Heavenly Father is who we're drawing near to. Not the boogeyman. Not some monster on TV, right? God Almighty, Yahweh, Jehovah, the one true living God the Creator, the Redeemer. He is there for you and He's there for me. But it also reminds me that I'm drawing near to God, who is my Father, but I'm also drawing near to the One who's faithful. God is faithful. From Genesis to Revelation, how many times did God let His people down? The answer you just gave me is all I need to know. He never did. And He never will. Now, from Genesis to Revelation, His people let Him down a lot. From Genesis to 2019, we've let God down a lot, but He's never let us down and He never will. In fact, He said, I'm God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I promise, and in so many words, He's saying, I promised this to Abraham, and here I am today. I got to make His people. I'm faithful. I'm going to keep my promise. That rainbow in the sky is not for the gay and lesbian community. It's from God. It's a promise. He's faithful. Okay? He's faithful. That's what it means. He will never, ever let us down. And then thirdly, when we draw near to God to be rescued, it reminds us that He's not forsaking us. Verses 11 and 12, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So He said, I will certainly be with you. This shall be a sign to you that I sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. He said, I am not going to forsake you. He told Joshua time and time again, be strong and of good courage. I'm going to be there for you. Wherever your feet go, where as long as you stay in the Word, it's going to be yours. I will never, ever forsake you. Now let me ask you this. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? My children will run to me in theory, when they need me, right? Why? Because they know Dad will be there. They know Dad will help them. They know Dad will love them. They know Dad, no matter what, will be there for them. Yeah, there are times Daddy yells. There are times He fusses. There are times He disciplines. All the above. But they understand that when they go to bed at night, their Dad will do everything in His power to protect them. But I am human. If my children were running and they were going over a cliff, I would do everything in my power to catch them. And I would go and I would hold on to them and raise them and try to rescue them on my own until it ripped my shoulder out of socket. I wouldn't let go. But eventually, if I don't get enough help, I will fail them. But our God will never fail us. And many of you have gone over a cliff and He's still trying to hold on. Today, get it out of your life and come to be rescued. Because it's our God who'll save us. Lord, You know everything I've done. Every thought I've had, You know every one. And Lord, You know every time I fall. But still, You come to my rescue. When I call. Lord, You hear every idle word, every thoughtless deed, how it seems absurd that, Lord, You give not what I am due, but mercy. You come to my rescue. Lord, You care and You've become my friend. Amazing love whose boundaries have no end. And Lord, You know what a greater love can do by being there for my rescue. Today, as we draw near, we draw it at God's request. But we need to draw near to be rescued. He was drawing Moses near to rescue His people. And then thirdly, we draw near to have a relationship. This world's lonely if we're not careful. It's really lonely. It's really cruel. God made us to be relationship-driven people. He desires a relationship with us. Exodus 19 now, verses 1 through 9. Bear with me as we read these verses. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, this is after all that, God rescued them. On the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, where they had departed from Rephidim, and come to the wilderness of Sinai and camp in the wilderness. So Israel camped before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord had commanded them. Then all the people answered and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, and the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." God desired a relationship with him, and he desires a relationship with us. And today, when we leave out of here, we can be renewed, we can be refreshed, we can be rebuilt, we can be rescued, we can be repentant, we can be whatever word we put in there, right? But just like them, chances are we're not going to stay there if we don't keep filling up on what we need to fill up on. It sounded good for them to say, "We're going to do all these things, God," but then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they crossed over into that promised land. They even complained, like, "Hey, we had it better off when we were in slavery." That's how far gone they were. So today, I want to ask you, as we get ready to close this out, what would happen if you put all that aside, took off the sandals, took all the obstacles out, at His request you came to be rescued, to have a relationship. And a relationship means there's give and take. God's going to give, okay? He's going to give and give and give, but He wants something back from you, right? He wants something back from me. If we submit to that relationship, what's going to happen? Well, here's what's going to happen. Number one, we're going to mount up with wings as eagles. Verse 4. He said, "Hey, I did that to Egypt, but I put you on the wings of eagles." Here's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord, they shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Today you want to soar. You want to soar above your problems. You want to soar above this world. You want to soar above everything. Then get on board with God. And then number two, he said, if they will commit to me in a relationship, they're going to be a special treasure to me. I can't fathom that. We're talking about God, the creator of whatever you treasure, okay? I read recently that there's an asteroid out there in space that NASA said it's so much gold in it, so much nickel and silver and all these precious emeralds, that if it were on Earth today, everybody on the planet would be a billionaire. It would crash the economy. God made that. Okay? All the gold in the world we could have, be billionaires, trillionaires, whatever, put it in there, and God made the gold. Okay? The one who made all that said, "You will be His special treasure." I don't know that I have the words and comprehension to fathom. But that's how much He wants a relationship with you. And then thirdly, he said this: if they'll come and submit their lives to me, be rescued at my request, we'll have that relationship and they'll be a people of priests and a holy people. I think sometimes we get wrapped up in church language and what we hear in the world and what we hear in, I don't know, the religious world, and we think, oh, I can't be a priest. No, you can. God's called you to be one. You're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, His own special people. And today, if I desire a relationship, maybe you're lonely. Maybe you wonder why you have no one else. Maybe everybody else you feel has forsaken you, but I can guarantee you God never will. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants you to be rescued. He's asking you today to examine where you are, to come out of hiding, to step up, to be the called out, and to live in relationship with Him. I think the one thing that illustrates this for me is years ago there was an experiment done, and you've heard me say this before, on some monkeys. There was a mom monkey that had baby monkeys, and they took those monkeys away from the mom. And they simulated the nursing of the mom with mechanical instrument and everything else. They fed the babies. The babies had everything they needed, but the babies went absolutely crazy because they didn't have the warmth of the mom, the love of the mom, and the touch of the mom. Today, your life, if it's crazy, it's not because of the mom. It's because you're missing the warmth of the father, the touch of the Father, and the love of the Father. Today, it can all be changed. He's got a fire that's burning that's not being consumed. A bush that's burning, not being consumed. He's getting your attention. He's made the request. Come be rescued. Have that relationship right now together. We stand and sing.